Blog Talk Radio.
We did it. Friday night, we finally got here. Weekend is coming through, and we cheer. Hey, oh, hey, oh, you know how it goes. Friday night on Daily Go Get Ism Show, and tonight we're talking about if you had been a better parent, they wouldn't have been on drugs. If you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't be in and out of jail. If you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't be running around having to go back and forth to court. If you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't be a little loosey-goosey, anyone that chews she, gets she. If you had been a better parent, if you would have been there, if you would have did this, if you would have done that, if you would have talked to them, if you would have shut up more, if you wouldn't have been so strict, if you would have made them go to church all day, every day, if you would have just been different than what you were, then they would have turned out totally different. We hear people say this kind of thing all the time. Is it true? Do you believe in it yourself? Do you believe, do you subscribe to the theory that it can be your parenting? The parenting can justify or explain any and all things that happen with the child. As parents, we all try to give our children the best. Excuse me. Most of us consciously want better for our children than we had. And I have to say most of us, because it's not all of us. It really isn't all of us. We do have abusive parents out there. We do have neglectful parents out there. We do have jealous parents out there. We do have parents out there who never wanted to be parents out there. And they were thrust into that position by their own choices sometimes, and sometimes by the choice of the DNA. Or should I say the sperm hitting the egg? Sometimes it happens. But does there come a point in every child's life when where they start to grow and make decisions for their own, for themselves, and when they start to learn things and make plans to go their own ways in life? Does parenting explain that? You know, the reason I chose the whole drug angle, because a lot of people would say that, you know, such and such would have never got strung out if they weren't abused when they were younger, if their parents hadn't put them in harm's way of this person and that person, or if they wouldn't have been so spoiled, or if they wouldn't have smoked around them or did drugs around them or introduced them to drugs. And there is truth. There's truth to that. But what if you never used drugs? What if you weren't a drug abuser? What if that had nothing to do with your history, your personal history? How do you explain a child choosing to experiment with drugs, use drugs, and eventually become a drug addict? How do you explain that when the parents didn't do that? Some people would still say, well, still, it was because blah, 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 blah. It was because you gave them everything they wanted, or you weren't a real parent to them. You tried to be a friend to them. So when you found out that they had used drugs or whatever, you should have whooped their ass. Oh, yeah, whooping their ass. That'll stop them from smoking. That'll stop them from popping pills. That'll stop them from banging in their arm. That'll stop them from sniffing the coke. Yeah. Whoop they ass. That old black nigger remedy. We will beat them into good behavior. How's it working out? How's it working out? All my people in jail. You mean to tell me none of them got their ass whooped? A lot of them just got their ass whooped too much. So we have to find the perfect balance between ass whooping and not ass whooping. Come on, man. Come on. But what about drug selling? If you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't have to sell drugs. Maybe if you didn't spoil them so much to whereas they think they had to have everything, then maybe they wouldn't have chose to sell drugs. Or maybe if you hadn't been so poor and they hadn't had to do without so much, then maybe they wouldn't have chosen to sell drugs. Or so that's why I wanted to talk about this tonight, because to me, this is one of them ones. This is one of them ones where times I think that we can blame some parents or some parenting techniques. And sometimes I think we have to just say, I know one thing. When you are arrested for doing what you do and you're over 18 years old, they don't call your parents. They don't do it. When you are under 18 years old, it wouldn't matter if you were 17 and 11 months and 30 days. Your birthday is tomorrow. You get arrested on that day before your 18th birthday, you are juvenile. And your entire case will be predicated on you being a juvenile. Even if it takes you until you're 19 to get adjudicated, you will be adjudicated. You will not be convicted, because when you're a minor, you get adjudicated. You don't get convicted of crimes. You get adjudicated. You get adjudicated. You get adjudicated. But as soon as you are 18 years old and you commit a crime, you could be 18 and 1 minute old. As a matter of fact, they won't even take your birth certificate into consideration and say, well, wait a minute. I got arrested at 3:23 on my 18th birthday, but I wasn't born until 6 o'clock p.m. on my birth date. So I'm technically still 17. They ain't playing that. So if the police, the judges, the courts, and the prison system doesn't believe that your parents are responsible before you are 18 years of age, why are we personally and socially still blaming the parents? Because we know the history, right? But all the other authorities consider your decisions to be your own after you're 18, after you're 21. So let's get into it. How y'all feeling tonight? You know what I mean? I hope y'all feel like real men and women should. I know I am. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Daily Go Get-A-Mism Show. If you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't have been on drugs. If you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't have turned to prostitution. If you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't be out here selling that poison to their brothers and sisters and ruining their communities, running around here toting a gun and acting like a thug, committing murders and hurting people, punching and stabbing and shooting and hurting, 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 punching and stabbing and shooting and hurt, 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 punching and stabbing and shooting and hurting, 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 punching and stabbing and shooting and hurting. Popping Urban Therapy with Sun 752. This is daily, the daily, The Daily Go Get a Business Show. We do this every single day, every single day, every day. Every day it rains, every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get a Mism Show all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should. Also, tonight we're talking about if you had been a better parent, then they wouldn't have been on drugs. Can you blame the parent for the choices that adult children make in their lives? I think I'm on the fence about it. I think that sometimes you really can blame the parents. If the parents have been the catalyst for the introduction, for the feelings that surround the action, like, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, as parents, we sometimes take gambles on putting our children in harm's way. You know, we trust family members and trusted friends with the care of our children, and sometimes they show our children things that we would never want our children to be exposed to. We would never want them to see. And sometimes the people that we leave them with are the very people who introduce them to those things. And sometimes they do it in an abusive manner to the point where they tell the children not to say anything, not to say nothing. Look, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to give you a little drink, but don't tell your mother that I gave you a little drink. Don't tell your father that I gave you a little drink. I'm going to let you smoke a little joint, but don't tell your mother or your father that I did that, or I'm going to deny it. I'm going to say it never happened, and I'm not going to show you nothing else no more. I ain't going to watch you no more. I ain't going to let you come around here no more. I ain't going to blah, 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 blah. You know how that weighs on a child. You know, when a child really likes somebody and that person is manipulative and they tell the child, well, I'm not going to let you play with me no more, or I'm not going to let you come over here no more, or I'm not going to let you have fun with me no more, take you nowhere with me no more, if you, and children will fall right in line. So I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm not going to tell nobody. I ain't going to tell nobody. Yeah. You know what? What is that? Oh, shoot. I was about to say, I knew I should have peeled that garlic, but no, that was a piece of plastic. What the hell? What are you doing? The label gets caught up. All right, let's go. Stacey White, what's going on? How you feeling, man? Carol Chamberlain, mi friend, mi favorita. Thanks for coming through. It's always great to see you, Carol Chamberlain. And also T. Carey Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your sight. Carol says, sir, what time is the show starting again, please, and thank you. You know what? You know, I was here early, but I had to make some of this. I'm on a regimen right now, and I got to make sure that I have this at least two times a day. At least two times a day. But, yeah, you know, we can blame parenting. We can blame a lot of our children's behaviors on parenting. You know, whether to spoil a child too much or not is one of the big questions that we have to address when we are dealing with parenting. What is the right level or the right way to reward your child? Or punish them. Which are the best ways? You know, we try to find a cool hand to do it. We want to make sure that we are good providers for our children while making sure that we don't provide so much for them that we handicap them from being able to provide for themselves. We want to make sure that they have what they need, but we also want to make sure that they don't always have to come to us in order to get what they need. We want to make them self-sufficient on some levels. We want to make them mature. We want to make them responsible. So what is the perfect balance of making sure that you provide for your children and also making sure that you don't overcompensate, overdo, and mess things up for them? We have to find a way to do it. We have to find a way to do it. And sometimes it's easier than other times, but you know, we're going to try to find a way to get there one day, right? But shoot, I'll never forget my ex had a cousin. She had a young cousin. And when me and her were together, her cousin was young, like maybe eight or nine years old. He was the oldest. He was a good kid. I really liked this kid. He was a nice kid. And you know, this was years and years later, because I met him in the 90s, like I'm talking about 94, 95. And he got older and he got killed in the commission of a murder, armed robbery. And the restaurant owner or whatever shot him in the head and killed him. Him and his friend tried to rob these Asians. And the Asian shot him and killed him. And when I went to the funeral, I remember seeing my ex there, and we had been broken up for, you know, over a decade. Because I think he got killed. Where was I working? He got killed. I'm going to have to say that he got killed somewhere around 2012, 2013, something like that. And I remember my ex blaming his mom, blaming her cousin, her older cousin, for the decisions that young man made. And I'm thinking, like, what did his mother do? Now, his mother wasn't the best mother that I'd ever seen. But shoot, most mothers that I've seen aren't the best mothers that I've seen. She definitely provided for the child. She definitely, you know, took care of him and made sure that he and his brothers, his younger brothers, had the things that they needed. But she blamed him. She blamed her. And she was serious about it. And I'm thinking, like, what could she have done to make him make the decision to pick up a gun? Oh, Carol says, there you go with the K word and the M word. Oh, well, they say that as long as you don't say it in the beginning of the show and keep repeating it. You can say the word, but if you keep repeating it, you know. Blah. You know, like, honestly, depending on the way that you use it also, they can't demonetize. I looked it up. I'm kind of clear on the guidelines. But yeah, she really blamed her older cousin for the decisions that young man made. So I'm thinking, like, what could his mother have done to make his 21 or 22 year old, I think he was about 22 when he did this. What could she have done to make him make the decision to conspire with his friend to go and rob these people and ultimately and wind up paying the ultimate price for it. I don't know if you can blame that on parenting. Was that the first crime he ever committed? Probably not. That doesn't sound like a first time. So that situation always weighed on me because I'm thinking like, I don't know what kind of life he was living at that time. I didn't know him as an adult. I knew him as a young boy. But he was a cool young boy. I liked him a lot. And I felt really sorry for his family and for him, for the decision that he made. Because, you know, whatever he did didn't take away my opinion of him or my love for him. But I didn't feel any reason to blame his mom for that. She wasn't violent in that way. She was a fighter. But she wasn't a shooter. She wasn't a, you know, eliminator or unaliver. Is that better, Cap? So he didn't come from that. And when we speak about coming from that, when you don't come from that, how do you blame where you come from? Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. You know, now if you want to say that because he didn't have his biological father in his life or because of her interactions with men or blah, 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 blah. I mean, I guess you can, you know, in our grieving, we try to connect the dots any kind of way we can, don't we? But does it make it true? He made a decision that costed him his life. If it didn't cost him his life, it probably would have costed him his freedom. What did his parenting have to do with that? So I understand differing opinions on it. I really do. But how do we get to the bag of understanding when it comes to these things? Can you blame a parent for the decisions that a child makes to commit crimes or to be antisocial? I'll get to that one in a minute. Or to be a criminal, or to be a drug dealer, or some other type of street. I don't want to keep using the word criminal, but street reliant personnel. How about that? Street reliant personnel. Yeah, you are for these streets. Carol Chamberlain says, Taki, I do too, except when they're grown. Okay, wait. TK Wright says, I take a certain amount of responsibility for my children's behavior. And you should. When you teach your children what to say, when to say it, how to act, when to act that way, when you teach your children responsibility, when you teach them discipline, when you teach them love, when you teach them understanding, when you teach them not to be rude or unaccepting of others' behavior just because they're different and stuff like that, when you try to instill the good stuff in your children, but they make their decisions not to do those things later on or when they rebel, is that your fault? Do you take responsibility for that? You may take responsibility for it, but just because you take responsibility for something, it doesn't mean that it's your fault. The President of the United States takes the responsibility for a lot of things that happen in this country. For a lot of things that happen in this country, but a lot of those things are not his fault. Simple and plain. He has to take responsibility, but it's really just a display of showmanship. I take responsibility for this forest fire, this hurricane damage, this oil spill, this train derailment, this mass unaliving. this mass unaliving. But he didn't do it. He didn't do any of those things. What taking responsibility means is that you will do your best to try to make it okay, to try to right the ship, to try to take the victim's feelings and litigation into consideration. That's what taking responsibility means. Doesn't mean that you did it yourself. It doesn't mean that it's directly because of your actions. Okay, I'm talking about, I appreciate you. I do. I appreciate y'all. It's just hard. I shouldn't have to follow these dumbass rules. And plus, it sounds dumb. I don't want to say unalive. That shit is dumb. It's not even a word. Carol says, and my parents taught me it was okay to say that. No, Lord. They did not. But yeah, children are going to rebel at some point. And their rebellion isn't always an outright rebellion. They are explorative. Kids explore things. They're going to try things, new things. Drugs are some of those things that some kids try. Their friends do it, their peers do it, and they seem to be okay. You know, take a little puff of weed, take a little drink, whatever. Pop a little pill, pop a little Xanny, pop a little perks. Ain't gonna hurt nothing. But you know, everything starts at one. And from the one comes the two, and then you can get up into the tens, and then the hundreds, and to the thousands. And then next thing you know, you're strung out, or you running around here trying to be a little kingpin. Not necessarily your parents' fault that happened. Look at the parents that are so strict with their children and who keep their children in church all the time. There are two ways we look at parents who do that. Some of us look at their parents like, yep, you did the right thing. You served, you made sure that your children understood the Lord, the word of the Lord, and you made sure that they served the Lord. So you did the right thing. You followed the word, and you tried to make sure that your children follow the word. Other people are going to say, had you not kept them in church all the time, and maybe expose them to some other things so they could see what's good and what's bad outside of the church, maybe they would have turned out different. You're not going to get it right all the time in everybody else's eyes. But just like your children make their decisions for themselves once they start to get older and more explorative, you are going to make your decisions about how you think your children should be raised. And sometimes you raise them in what you think a good way should be, and it just doesn't turn out that way. How many Jehovah's Witnesses have we grown up with who turned out to be criminals, who turned out to be hurters of other people, who turned out to be eliminators? How many Christians do we know that turned out the same way? You know, gang members, all kinds of stuff. You know, really negative things. How many sheltered women, little girls, young girls do we know that turned out to, you know, start using their body for everything? You know what I mean? Going to the Oscars with nothing on like Sierra. Russell and Sierra, they're Christians. Deacon Russell, what is the mother of the church doing there naked in front of national TV, international TV? Children are going to make their own decisions. Carol says, on a serious note, You're right about that, Omar. Peer pressure, bullying. Yeah. Listen, peer pressure is strong. And it's not just for teenagers. It's not just for the young people. There's adult peer pressure, too. And we've talked about it multiple times. You know, I think when we get older, instead of calling it adult peer pressure, we call it monkey see, monkey do, or just being a follower. Not being able to be your own man or your own woman. But it's peer pressure. And all peer pressure ain't bad. There's good peer pressure, too. There's good, like if all of the friends that you hang around with are financially successful and they out there getting it. They out there buying cars, being able to take vacations, living in nice houses, sending their children to premium private schools and, you know, really financially doing well in life. You ain't gonna feel all that comfortable, you know, scratching and surviving and living from check to check or pillow to post or whatever. You're gonna feel pressure to step your game up. And those friends should be able to help you do it. Not just by setting the example, but by being a resource for you. So all peer pressure ain't bad. But when it is bad, how do we blame the parents for it? Wow. Carol says, I think she looked fabulous. If her husband didn't object, then why should I? I'll tell you why. We pick and choose when the husband is supposed to be the one that makes the decision. Now, Russell had taken the reins on Sierra, and he was the controlling type. Then it'll be like, yo, why she got to do everything he want her to do? Why does everything that she do have to have his approval? But when she out there objectifying herself, and no, I didn't think she looked fabulous at all. But don't get me wrong, I don't think she looks fabulous with clothes on. I mean, I think she's cute, but you know, she ain't, I don't understand the hype. I ain't gonna front. I can't name a Sierra song. I can't name one. I can't name a Sierra song. And I've heard some. But I can't name a Sierra song. And I damn sure couldn't name three of them. So to me, she's just like the white Kim Kardashian. Sierra is the black Kim Kardashian. She got her fame off of being the girlfriend of other people. At least she made records. You know what I'm saying? I know Sierra. The first time I ever heard of Sierra, it was because she was the girlfriend of Lil Bow Wow. Then Future. Now Russell. And from what I understand, she didn't even really want to be with Russell. She really wanted to be with Future. I don't know. I can't get caught up in all that mess. But anyway. But no, I don't think a woman out being out there, you know, with no clothes on and all that. I don't want the whole world being able, and even if I approve of it, that doesn't make it okay. Like, so if I'm all right with my woman looking like a hoe, my question is, would I be okay with my daughter doing it? Because that's how I look at all the things that I do. Would I be okay if my baby did it? So if Ayana went to a play or some type of performance, would I be okay with her wearing that? If the answer is no, then no. It ain't all right for my woman to do it either. Fuck no, it ain't all right. Sierra ain't look all right to me. But I wouldn't give a shit who it was. I'm like, mm-mm. Mm. But okay. TK, right? Says, Sierra is not the first to do that. It's all blasphemous no matter who does it. I don't care if she was the first, middle, or last. You're not going to put anybody in front of me that I'm going to say, yeah, well, good choice. Nobody. Nobody. And I don't give a shit if her husband says it's okay. He ain't okay because he's soft. He is the Will Smith of sports. He's soft. That boy ain't running nothing. He is Cottonelle, and everybody know it. That boy Cottonelle. When people have to start making excuses for the good things that you do, you are soft, boy. That boy is chewed gum. He is chewed bubble yum. You know, bubble yum is already soft when it's unchewed, but after you chew it, that thing is, and that's Russell. But that's just my opinion. Let me see. Cal says, Taki, there was a theme, and most of the ladies wore sheer outfits. Not saying it was right, but who am I to judge? Oh, I judge all the time. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what I can think about somebody else. If I don't like it, I'm saying it. If I like it, I'm saying it too. So yeah, call me. They told me not to judge. This was me. Omar, you can't be out there judging. You're right. Order. 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 If I like it, I'm saying I like it. If I don't like it, I'm saying I don't like it. You can do the same with me. You ain't got to like everything I do. It ain't going to stop me from doing it. Just the same way if I say I don't like something that they do, it ain't going to stop them from doing it. Thing is, I don't have to watch them, and I normally don't. But they ram this shit down your throat. They going to make sure you see something. I don't watch the Oscars. When Will Smith smacked Chris Rock, I ain't see that shit. I ain't see it because I watched the show. I had to watch the clips. Okay. Let me see. Carol says, Cher has been doing it for years and still does it, and she's old now. And she ain't look good when she was doing it then. I thought she looked silly. A little skinny ass. She looked like a hairless cat to me. That's what Cher always looked like to me, with long hair. He looked like a hairless cat. You know what them hairless cats look like. He's fucking disgusting. But who am I to judge? Okay. Taki says, plenty of white women and Halle and Beyonce have done it. Ain't that much couture in the world. I don't care who does it. Okay. Carol says her body was awesome. I have to give it to her. I don't think her body is awesome. But see, that's another judgment. That's just another opinion. She all right? I think Big Butt Tanya is better. But I like girls built like Big Butt. I mean, it's an opinion. It's an opinion. You know what I mean? She ain't my cup of tea. But okay. TK Wright says, I hear you, Carol. It's always too much for me when someone does it. As a mom, I cringe. Carol says, I understand, Taki. I wouldn't want my daughter to dress like that. If it ain't all right for my daughter, it ain't all right for nobody. I'm sorry. I don't want, and that's what we have to take into consideration. They are setting an example out there. But speaking of setting an example, when your children see examples out there that they see are popular or praised and things like that, how does your parenting influence that? How does your parenting influence the other influences out there that may be stronger than your parental influence? My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max and chill. And Emily Dunlap in the house and said it. Emily. TK Wright says, you bugging. She is not like Kim K. She has talent before any of those men. I don't know her. Can you name three songs with her without thinking about it? She's been out for over 10 years. Name three Ciara songs real quick. Knock them out. That's all I'm saying. I have one of her CDs. I can't name a song on a CD, and I remember it wasn't that bad. It was all right. But I don't know about Ciara from having no hits? Has she ever had a number one hit? Ciara is not known for the songs that she sang. I mean, if you can deny that, all right. She ain't that great of a singer. She can dance. She's a great performer. I know that. But which one of her songs was that shit? Like, when you get into your car, which song you be like, yo, I got to hear me some Ciara. You said, okay, goodies, rooted, level up. I got nothing. I don't know those songs. I don't know those songs. And I'm an R&B enthusiast. I don't know those songs. I don't know the beat. I don't know the melody. I don't know the hook. I don't know nothing. She ain't known. She did not blow up because of those songs you just put on there. I know it. You know it. Mm-mm. She's known for being Future's girlfriend. She's known for being Russell's girlfriend, his wife, and all the messiness that came with her in Future. I mean, we can deny it, but you know it's true. And that's why I say that she's like the black Kim Kardashian. She's not as messy as Kim Kardashian, but the way you get it is the way you get it. Okay, let me see. TK Wright says, okay, wait. Her body is in great condition, Carol. No man of mine would be okay with that. Okay. All right. TK Wright says, he's a Sag. They like to show off their significant other. I'm going to force myself not to get into that. Them controlling motherfuckers like you to do what they want you to do. And when you see the video of when she came out and when they took those pictures, did he look like he was in approval? I ain't see him looking like, ooh, yeah, that's me right there. That ain't how he was looking. He was looking like, oh, shit. I'm going to have to deal with my damn teammates looking at me like a dickhead again. Like, shit. Motherfucker. She don't care about that, man. She don't. She don't care about Russell. She don't care about Russell. She don't. No woman that really loves her man and respects her man would even want to be out there showing, objectifying herself like that. She don't. Like, nah, man. Mm-mm. I don't care what my exes saw. My baby is going to see things in parts of me that nobody else will ever see because I'm going to ensure it. I don't care about that, man. He will never see another Super Bowl being with her. Oh, well. Probably his parents' fault. If he had better parents... He will probably be on point better. That man's a sucker. He is Duck City. Quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack. Affleck. Affleck. Man, he is Cottonelle. He lift the barbells, but he's still Cottonelle. He throw the touchdowns, but he's still like a clown. Nar says, what up, everyone? What up, my brother? Cal says, Omar bugging is you. I ain't bugging. Look, man, you ain't going to see me. You know, I ain't never going to see me co-sign no bullshit like that. These celebrities be off the fucking chain. Yeah, it'd be a cold day in hell when you see me co-signing any of that stupid shit they do. Cal says, here comes the judge. Ciara, for the streets. Russell, for the circus. You's a clown, boy. I sentenced you to Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey. You got to bring them back. They got rid of the animals. They got to get your clown ass in the three rings. A duck. You are a straight duck and a clown. Quack, 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 quack. Your parents should have done a better job with you. They let you make all these millions of dollars, even won a Super Bowl, all for you to get clowned by all for you to get clowned by a chick that never had a number one hit. No good, black man. No good. No good. You mean to tell me you a Super Bowl MVP, but you got clowned by somebody that never had a number one hit? That's, you taking care of another man's baby, but T. Gary Rice says, so Beyonce doesn't love Jay? Who cares? One thing is for sure, she's had number one hit. There have been times when she could say, listen, Jay, you talked about all the chicks that you done hit on your records, and you done made records with chicks that you done hit while we was together. At least, and you ain't popping right now. I'm out here still kicking out hits, so you gotta chill. Sierra trying to be me. I ain't trying to be... yeah, good question, TK, right? I can't take it. TK, right, says you can't compare her to your girl. Oh, God. I can't take it. Emily says, speaking of cats, I'm not going to keep asking about Crystal. Okay. I'll go back to when you asked about her last night then. Crystal, it be around. Matter of fact, didn't I see you on the couch? Come, cat. Gata. She's somewhere where her ear is going up like, man. I'm chilling right now. All right. Carol says, and she's always half naked when she performing too. And one thing I always say about Beyonce is, y'all love Beyonce so much, but does she set the example that you want for your children? When Michelle Obama was parading Beyonce around and acting like they were such good friends with each other, I was like, I don't know about this one, Missy. I don't know about this one, Shelly Shell. And that was right around the time when Jay-Z and Beyonce went to Cuba and made the Obamas look dumb. And maybe if Obama's mom had raised him better, then he would have been smarter about that. I'm just saying. At least she had number one hits. I'd be damned if I win a Super Bowl and I'm getting bossed around, tossed around by some chick that ain't never had a number one hit. Like, look, I got a Super Bowl ring. You ain't even have a wedding ring before me, so... I don't mean to get arrogant on you, but levels. Put some clothes on. Next year in the Oscars, you going in a sweater, turtleneck. Russell is a clown. He's a clown. But don't worry. Somebody out there will listen to me and they be like, He got a lot of nerve talking about Russell. What has he ever done in his life? And I'd be like, not get played by my girlfriend? Did that. She don't love that man. She don't love him. No respect. No respect. He was the cleanup man. He was number two. But all right, man. So, but yeah, I mean, real trap though. You know, like, getting back on the topic, I think that there's only so much that a parent can do when their children start making decisions. All right, like let's take these young cats, actually, you know, boys and girls that join gangs. Is that the parents' fault that they join gangs? I think that parents have to take some of the responsibility, because kids normally join gangs because the gang presents themselves as a family. So maybe if you're suffering at home without a decent family life, then you'll choose to join a gang. It makes sense to me, you know. So I would think that children who come from decent parents would not choose to join a gang. But look at, I don't know if y'all watch Wildin' Out or follow Battle Rap, but look at Hitman Holla. Hitman Holla came from a two-parent family who sent his sons to college. Hitman Holla played basketball and football in college on a collegiate level. And guess what? He joined the Bloods. And his father was always active in his life. He praises his dad for being there. He even comes to some of his battles. With all of the decent parenting that his parents did, and they weren't rich or anything like that, but they were responsible, and they were attentive to their sons, he still chose to join a gang. A gang. And he be representing that shit. I'm like, you sound dumb as hell. If you ever get cased up, it's a wrap for you, because you put your shit all the way out there. You got a chance to blow up out here as an entertainment mogul, and your claim to fame is your gang affiliation. You out here su-wooing and throwing up gang signs and talking about how you ready to put in work on the street. Shut up, you dickhead. But that ain't his parents' fault. I mean, when JJ got hooked up with Sweet Daddy Jones, was that Florida and James's fault? I don't think so. James, you know the Lord don't want you shooting no pool. I mean, I'm sorry. James, you know the Lord don't want you hustling no pool. Carol says, you can't police your children 24 hours a day. You can only hope that what you instilled in them is enough. Was it Sweet Daddy Williams? My bad. Thank you, Emily. Sweet Daddy Williams. I love Sweet Daddy Williams. My favorite character. He's my favorite guest on the show. He always had nice girls with him. Fur coat. Thugs on the side. I was like, is it really like that in Chicago? Friend of Cabrini Green Project. I'm like, I wonder where they parked. I used to always wonder that. Like, where did they park? Sweet Daddy Williams. His name was Sweet Daddy Williams. Okay. Cool. I like Sweet Daddy. Sweet Daddy. But yeah. JJ got, remember, JJ got caught up a few times with Sweet Daddy Williams selling drugs. His remember the girl he was going to marry? She couldn't get off. She couldn't get off of heroin. She dipped out the window, left him at the altar, sort of. Know what I mean? Was that James's fault? Was that Florida's fault? It's the pressure of these streets. It was probably those vice lords' fault. Them gangster disciples' fault. Black Spade's fault. Latin King's fault. That's whose fault it was. Not his mama and his daddy. Not the fault of the mama and the daddy. Sweet Daddy Jones don't even sound, it sound gangster to me. Actually, I think it kind of flows better if you think about it. Sweet Daddy Jones, Sweet Daddy Williams, I don't know. I like Jones better. Nara says, you have to live life all nervous and worried, but joining gang means you don't want to be buried. It's either that or in jail because there's no police, and a mind is a terrible thing to waste. That's right, MC Shan, Mick Shan. Yeah, I mean, you know, in short, you know, MC Shan says, someone else that you will see is trying to take your destiny. By the time you think about it, you're grown. Then you're saying, God damn, I got to leave my own. Grab hold of your heavy chains, which people always pulling, always trying to strain. You heard just what I said. They always pulling you down when you're trying to get ahead. Thought about it much, much later. Could have went to school and been much greater. But you chose to lose that, to leave that fate. Now you're sucking on a bone when it should have been steak. All right, let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. March 17th.
Shh, it's St. Patrick's Day, but I don't represent that shit.
No, I mean. Anyway. March 17th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Turning 86 years old today, Margaret Collins. Happy birthday to you, and also Joelle Wynn, turning 65 years old today, and Dawn Beckett Singh, turning 54 years old today, and Alexandra Grissom, turning 46 years old today also. Oh, should I say? No, well, anyway. And Suzette Bromwell, turning 50 years old today, and Eleni Jimenez-Santana, turning 38 years old today, and Angela Driven Smith, happy birthday to you, and Al B. White, my homie, turning 50 years old today, and Jacqueline Pepples turning 52 years old today, and Tina Murray turning 58 years old today, and Dino Love, happy birthday to you, and Oliver Say, happy birthday to you, and my boy, going all the way back to like the 1974, 75, Cortez Jeffries, known to us as Tezzy, turning 52 years old today, and last but not least, Herman C. Durr of Penn State University. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. And Queen Monica, happy birthday, happy 25th birthday to her son, Vaughn. Vaughn, 25, that's amazing. Amazing. Happy birthday to you, young boy. You always be a young boy to me. 25, what the fuck? I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. Turn up. but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, them children gonna use drugs. Them children gonna sell some weight. Them children gonna sell some ass. Them children gonna buy some ass. Them children are gonna punch somebody, hurt somebody, do something to somebody, or somebody gonna get hurt, or somebody, even if the person gets hurt, or the children, is it your fault? It might be if you introduce them to such, but if they didn't, then it don't mean that much that you did wrong, but you still gotta try the way to get them along in their lives and to do the best for them and for yourself. Make sure that you take care of their health. You are the best that you can be if you concentrate. But if they go astray, what can you say? Yo, niggas gonna try to hate, and they gonna try to relate the things that you did when they was coming up, but they ain't always your fault. No, huh? Yup, word? Nah, yo, I tried, but they did their own thing. But what I put inside will come out eventually, and I know they gonna win and be the kings that they supposed to be. That's my word, W-O-R-D, nerd. And I say that we are here. We going to do the damn thing. It's clear I am there with y'all, and I see this as a ball. This thing that we have is sort of like La Cosa Nostra. We supposed to be the best, and I know that we going to get this thing off, and we can never be soft. We're going to make sure that we live up in the law for something better that we have for ourselves to pay that mortgage, not the rent. We going to make sure that everything is heaven sent. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow for another Urban Therapy with Sun Show, 1 p.m. tomorrow, so make sure y'all come through. Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah, 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 yeah.